welcome to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast, where we talk about topics and resources that help you lead more to reach more. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. And welcome to another edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. I am so glad that you're taking time out to listen today. I'm praying for you as you listen, and I pray that you're going to be equipped and encouraged and blessed by this and every episode. And I know this episode will be a blessing because you can't hang out with my friend and not be blessed. Every time I've had conversations with him, and it's been a few years, it was like a CM Connect conference like a long time ago that I had a chance to sit down with my brother Ricardo Miller and just talk. But we've talked on and off. He's had me on his radio show. And we'll talk more about what he's doing in just a moment. But Ricardo Miller is joining me today. He's an author. He's an innovator. He's a motivator. He's a speaker. And he's a kids pastor. All of those things. He's just amazing. And he's going to share some fantastic wisdom with us and share his heart with us like he always does with everybody he comes in contact with. So, Ricardo, my brother, welcome to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for having me, man. This is awesome. You know, I've always looked forward to the day when we're able to reconnect, because like you said, you were on my show a little while back, and I'm at CM Connect. You know, the time we've had to fellowship then during that conference has been a delight too. So, man, it's great to be here with you. Thank you for all that you're doing for children's ministry leaders. You're consistent, man. You're dedicated, and you're pushing something that is so needed. So I salute you for your commitment to adding tremendous value to the body of Christ, more specifically to those of us who serve in children's ministry.
Well, thank you, my brother. It's an honor to partner with you, and I look forward to seeing what God's going to do with us in the coming days. There's lots of ministry to be done. And I said it off air. I'll say it again. It's hard to keep up with my brother here because he is a man that's on the move. And like I say, you if you spend 5 minutes with Ricardo, you're going to find out that he motivates you and encourages you and blesses you. And so I can't wait to dive in on our conversation. So, Ricardo, you have a tremendous passion for developing leaders. You've done that in your children's ministry, raising up leaders. Obviously, it's allowed you to expand your ministry because you've developed leaders underneath you. So tell me, why do you have such a passion for this? What did God stir in your heart to create you to be this kind of person that really wants to drive forward leadership?
You know, years ago when I first started, it's been 25 years now that I've been working in ministry to children. It's amazing how fast the years go, right? It's been about 25 years now, and I can remember starting with just simply a love for kids, just wanting to share the gospel and realizing there was so much more kids to reach. There was so much more work to be done. And my pure heart for kids and sharing the gospel, I realized, was limited because I could not do it all myself. I could not do what God had placed on my heart to do in and of myself. And I started to feel frustrated. I started to feel overwhelmed. And then I started to look at the Bible, and I started to look at, I believe, the altar leader, the best leader to follow, and that was Jesus Christ himself. I think he set the example better than anybody in history as to when he accepted his assignment, the next thing that he did was build his team. And he started to call forth certain people to assist him with his assignment. I had struggles with that within my first 5, 8, almost 10 years. I struggled with the understanding that in order for me to do something great for God, it cannot be done in and of myself. I'm going to need others. And so that's when leadership started to come about, because bringing people together doesn't mean you're automatically leading them. I had to start understanding that a group of people together is not being led automatically. You have to decide to lead. You have to develop yourself with the understanding of what it requires to lead that group. People started to come. Tom, they started to come. I started to have help. But once again, I struggle when it comes to leading, because I was wanting helpers, but I wasn't developing myself as a leader.
Ooh.
And even though I had helpers, I didn't develop myself as a leader. And so what we were able to do was limited at the particular time. And that's when the revelation was given to me. You have to be developing yourself in a way for those who are called to assist you to want to follow you. Leadership is following. Leadership is assisting. Leadership is inspiring. Leadership is helping others to capture something greater than themselves. And that's what I had to start doing. That's really where it came alive.
Wow. Oh, man. There's so many tweetable moments in that. I love that whole thing of developing leaders, not helpers. Because I think so many of us fall into that trap, and you see it as you go around and speak around the country and talk and you help leaders. That is a big thing. And, you know, I coach too. And that's one of the things we both have been, I'm sure, talking about with our students is, hey, don't just train helpers, develop leaders, help them to lead.
Yes.
Stir that gift in them. I mean, that's what scripture tells us, right? We're supposed to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. That's making leadership, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So this is a question that I love asking experienced leaders, because I see a lot of new people coming on in the Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group. We're getting a lot of new leaders that are coming into ministry brand new. And as you look back over your years of ministry, if you could sit down with young Ricardo that's just starting out, totally brand new, the rookie, what would you say to him now that, you know, what would you want him to know now that you now know? I mean, as you look back.
what a great statement, a question. I would say to the young Ricardo, I would say to young ministers, knowing that you have been given the title does not mean you know how to do everything. And do you, knowing that you have been given the title of director, children's pastor, the coordinator over the children's ministry, you don't need to know how to do everything. That's what I would say to a young Ricardo. You don't need to know how to do everything. And most certainly you have to accept the fact you don't know how to do everything. And in addition to that, I would say to young Ricardo, be comfortable surrounding yourself with the most highest quality of people that can help you to fulfill the assignment that God has placed on your life. Don't be intimidated by highly skilled people. That's what I would say to Ricardo Miller. I've discovered that because sometimes we take on the title of leadership believing that we're supposed to be what we would call the top dog, the highly skilled person capable of doing all things. We walk like that, not realizing I'm not called to do everything. And someone is highly skilled in an area where I'm not skilled, and I will be better. The children's ministry will be better. Our church will be better if all of us operate in our areas of greatest strength. And so early on, I did not embrace the strength of other people. Now, at this particular season in my life, if someone speaks better than me, I say, hey, man, you have a better skill for illustrative messages than I do. If you are better than me with games, do the games. If you're better than me with worship, do the worship. If you're better than me with the altar call, then listen, God has graced you to do an altar call that connects. Go forward and be the one doing the altar call. I am not going to hold the department hostage because I have the title. Yes. And years ago, early on, I struggled with that because I felt as though, well, you know, if I'm the children's director, I need to be the speaker. That's not necessarily true. You can be a great manager. You can be a great strategic planner. You can be a great team builder and may never be a good speaker. You may never be a good illustrative presenter to kids, but that doesn't mean you can't lead, run, and develop multi-site campuses, run and manage hundreds of workers.
Yes.
But you got to be willing to know, let the gifted ones serve where they are gifted, and then oversee them.
I like that. Don't hold the ministry hostage. That's a good, oh man, brother. See, I knew you were going to drop some truth bombs for us. Because, yeah, again, a lot of us in leadership, we wrestle with that old ugly sin pride. And we think that our leadership above us is going to look down on us if we don't do everything. And even in smaller churches, we think we have to do everything. And I've told people that's the lie of the enemy to hold you hostage.
Yes.
That you think you have to do every single thing and you're the only one that cares. Yep. Like, this is God's ministry. I love how I can tell that just oozes from you that you know the ministry you're holding is God's and you're just stewarding it.
Yep.
I love that, brother. Thank you for sharing that, because that is truly some powerful stuff. And so I'm curious to know now, in the midst of COVID-19, and boy, these are days that we haven't seen before in ministry and in church world and in children's ministry. And I've grown tired. People that have listened to the podcast know I hate saying the word pivot, but because we keep pivoting and pivoting and pivoting and it does feel tiring, and people are getting are burning up and burning out because of that. But I know that one of the ways that we can prevent burnout is to keep growing in leadership and keep listening to the Spirit. I got to know that God has been teaching you some new things during this season. So can you share with us what are some of the lessons that God has taught you about being a leader and about being a follower of Christ during this season?
You know, in this season, God's really helped me to understand this idea that I've embraced, and that is someone is assigned to help me. I am not in this thing alone. And there's a statement that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It was when I understood that someone is assigned to help me in my lowest moment, in my overwhelming state, in my most challenging position, I've come to accept the fact that someone is succeeding where I'm failing. Someone is having the victory where I'm having my most greatest challenges. And they want to help me. Someone wants to help me get out of the rut. So God's helped me to know that, you know what, in this world that we're living in, I'm not alone. And I mean that, I know the presence of God is with me, and I know God is always guiding and leading me through the help of the Holy Spirit. But I'm talking about even in the tangible sense of the word, there is someone I can call to who has conquered, who has literally walked through what I'm about to go through. And being able to stay sensitive to that has been refreshing. Someone is assigned to help me. So Tom, guess what I do every day? I'm praying, God, who's assigned to help me today? Who has you placed in the earth to assist me? Like Paul needed Ananias. Like Jesus needed John. Jesus showed up and he says, listen, I need you to baptize me. And John said, oh no, I know who you are. And John said, hey. John said, I can't baptize you. Jesus said, this must happen. Okay. I need you. I need you right now. Saul to Ananias, I need you, okay? David, Jonathan, I'm going to need you to let me know if your dad's going to kill me, okay? is it safe for me to go back to the palace, you know? It's Moses and Aaron, just understanding we're not in this thing alone. Yes. Someone is assigned to help us, and that has freed me, brother. That has freed me to the point of not having to carry the weight of ministry in and of myself. Yes. Because the thing that I'm struggling with, someone has learned to have the victory with. And if that's the case, I just need to find out who those people are. And then I need to be humble and I need to be open to be taught on capturing the principles they discovered to allow them to win. Because watch this, God is not a respective person. If yes. he can do it in Tom's life to allow him to survive and thrive through something, and I have access to you, guess what? I also have access to God through you. Yes. All I need to do is humble myself and simply ask you, hey, brother, how did you overcome? How did you thrive? How did you win? Because I'm struggling. And that's what I've been able to do in this season. And 25 plus years later, I'm able to still say I have joy because I've opened myself up to allow those that's winning where I'm being challenged to help me.
Yes. Yes. Oh man, that is so, such a blessing to hear. because I want those that are listening, because I know many of you are getting discouraged and you're getting frustrated because you're doing things that you weren't originally hired to do. And we all get that. You know, we've all seen that one part on the job description that says, and any other tasks asked for by the senior pastor or by the leadership. We're getting that one a lot right now, you know, and people are becoming video producers and curriculum producers and content creators and that's the thing. And that's what I love about our Kid Ministry Collective community is the fact that we have people like you and others in the group where we can lean into and say, hey, what are you doing and how does that work for you? Because then we can grow together. And when one gets weary, somebody else is coming alongside and pulling you along and saying, hey, we got this. And I like how you said that when we are feeling that dried out, worn down feeling, to lean into someone else and say, hey, I want to hear from God through you. And that's what I love about following you on social media. You always have such good words from the Lord for all of us to encourage us and to keep us going. And just at the moment where I'm getting a little down and discouraged and hitting a roadblock, or I feel like I'm at a dead end, all of a sudden I see a post from you that says, hey, expect God to do something great today. And it's like, you're right. I'm not living in that expectation that I have a God who has unlimited supply.
Yes.
What am I doing? Why am I licking my wounds? Why am I sitting here having a pity party? Get up, man. Go. So I love that about you. I like how you're doing that. So as you're approaching this then, and as God's been teaching you, how has your church been functioning and what are you doing right now with all of this? Are you guys meeting in person or are your plans to do that? Tell us a little bit about what your children's ministry is doing and what your church as a whole is doing.
Yeah, our church, we're strategizing and continuing to meet virtually. We're not back in our building. We had initially planned to go back in the building first. We were looking at the first Sunday in July, and then somewhere about mid-June, we moved it to first Sunday in August, mm-hmm. and somewhere in mid-July, we're moving to first Sunday in September. but now, our strategy team, we're looking at what if we're not going back to the building this year? Mm-hmm. That's a conversation we haven't even put on the table. Yep. And can our teams meet the demands of ministry from a virtual standpoint that will allow us to in a healthy way, still connect to our kids? And so we're having to look at that. What is that going to cost us? What kind of meetings and what kind of strategy and what types of investment that's going to require for mm-hmm. us to be able to appropriately still connect with our kids and our families? So overall, our numbers have been up. Our virtual platforms have been extremely strong for our church. And so that's one of the things why I think our leadership has been comfortable with not feeling the need to rush back into the building, is because all of our records indicate that all facets of our ministry in relation to the virtual standpoint, our engagement is up. Our reach is broader than when it was on the campus. And so we're going back to the campus. We'll eventually do that. But obviously, the signs of the time requires us to be wise in making sure that we don't put people in harm's way.
Yeah.
And so we're doing that. I'm also the consultant for three other churches that I'm walking them through their virtual platforms with their children's ministry departments. And a number of them has postponed and has plans to come back in as late as October.
Yes.
And so once again, it's all about planning. It's all about having the team that understand that, one, you have to prepare to go back in the building, but you also have to be prepared in the event that you don't go back in the building. And you have to know that you can succeed in both. You can succeed either way. The challenge is getting the mindset to believe that the building is where success is. No. The building is where you are. And if God is with you, you can succeed right where you are. And right. So I did something virtually on a Zoom experience last week with some kids, and the amount of kids that showed up there, and it was a small Bible study experience. that we announced and sent out a text message to parents. And the amount of kids that showed up in that thing, had I done that at our church and announced for parents to bring their kids, we would have not even have half that amount of kids. And wow. So the reality of it is we got to start being open for change, because everything is no longer changing. Everything has changed.
Mm. Yes, it has. Yeah. I've been telling people, you know, you really have to come with a plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and be ready to implement any one of those at a moment. Yeah. And you better have Z starting to talk about, you better start talking about, and that sounds like what you guys are doing is you've gotten several different plans. And depending on this situation, if you're in here, we can go this way, we can go that way. I love hearing that your engagement is up. I'm curious, do you attribute that to anything in particular? Because I know a lot of people have said our engagement has dropped. I mean, some of that's just the summertime and people are on vacationing and are trying to get off the computers and TVs. Yep. But do you attribute any reason? What are you guys doing specifically that's pulling people in?
I think creativity. I think you have to be creative. I think children's ministry as a department, I think church in general, we're lazy. I think we go for comfort zone. I think we go for standardization. In other words, we want to implement something, we want to keep it basic, and we want to keep that same thing the way that we've kept it in the initial start, and we're hoping that to keep the same momentum. Well, the society we're living in today, I was reading something not so long ago, and they said, let's just say 30, 40 years ago, there were concepts that were created. Let's just say the VHS. The VHS cassette whole deal, the VHS lasted for about 20 years as the dominating form for watching movies. Mm-hmm. VHS. The DVDs only held it for about 10 years. And then the Blu-ray only held it for about 5 years. Do you catch what I'm saying?
Yes.
And streaming has crushed all of them.
Yes. So,
but you see, the first system was about a 20-year window. Wow. VHS held the window for about 20 years. Okay. Then DVDs came in and held it for about 10 years. And then Blu-ray came in and tried to do something for about 5 years. My numbers can be a little bit off. Don't be exact. I'm not exact with them, but I'm just giving some off-cast numbers.
Yep.
And then now we're looking at the dominance of the streaming platform.
Yes.
Children's ministry leaders, we must understand that just like an iPhone is updated every 9 months or so, in ministry, we have to every 90 days be looking at adjusting, looking at change. And so what I think has caused a lot of people, even in this pandemic, is that they've introduced stuff, but they've kept the stuff they've introduced as the same thing. They have not read the pulse of their audience and shifted accordingly. But what they've done is they've stabilized their efforts and tried to tell people to stay with what they've stabilized. When the society we're living in, nothing is stabilized. Everything is changing rapidly. Mm. And you got to either be adaptable or you eventually die.
Yes. Whew. Oh, my. Oh, my. Wow. I hope y'all heard that what he just said, and you may have to play this for your senior pastors too, because that's something that I'm seeing all the time. Is all we're doing is we just took what we've been doing, and we're streaming, and it's like, man. And I've told people I don't want to go back to the way things were. I don't. Yep. Yep. I love that the church is functioning more like Acts chapter 2 than we've ever acted before. Yep. And I mean, I love how my home church where I'm attending right now, every Sunday they talk about we're one church in thousands of locations now. Yep. God just multiplied and made us multi-site.
Yes.
And, you know, in 30 days we went multi-site. And they weren't planning on going multi-site. So, man, I appreciate that, because I think as children's ministry leaders, now is the time, especially because we are, you know, at first we thought this is a short-term thing. It's going to be over soon. We'll get right back to normal. And now we're seeing, Yeah, there's a lot of churches. North Point, and there's a big, a large church in Cincinnati, Ohio, that now has said, we're not going to reopen until 2021, for sure. We're going to focus our energies and our plans to keep people safe. We're going to make sure the gospel gets out. We're going to still serve our communities. And we're going to look to ways, new ways of doing ministry in the coming days. And I got to say, I appreciate that very, very much. I want to hit on one more topic with you before I let you go. And that is something that, as you know, we're living in a racially tense world right now. And we in the Kid Ministry Collective community made a promise to everybody here that we were going to stay active and involved and keeping the church leaders held accountable, including myself, to say we can do better. We've not done better. We've allowed different organizations to step up in the gap where the church should be and should have come in and should have been meeting the needs of our brothers and sisters and listening and hearing the stories and fighting for change. And the church just kind of sat back. And so I've committed to say, hey, I'm sorry. I don't like how I've sat back, how I've not used the voice that God has given me. And so I would love for you to just speak into this of how has all of this affected you as a person of color? You've got a young son that just graduated from high school. And I'm sure, you know, the tension you feel sometimes of him going out and not knowing. I've never felt that with my boys that have walked out of the house. I've never had that thought. And so I'm just curious, how have you handled all of this? Tell us a little bit about your world so that we can hear your story a little bit too in this.
You know, thank you again for stepping up to even challenge this particular platform to accept and understand what's going on in our world in relations to all of the racial conflicts and problems that is just constantly showing itself up week in and week out. One of the things that I've experienced, you know, coming in from the Bahamas, there's a little bit different dynamics. We're a country that's 85% black. You know, we have a lot of tourists that comes in that of other ethnicities, but we're a dominant country that's led by black people. Mm-hmm. And so when I moved here to the United States, I was not quite aware or abreast on the level of racial tension until I bought a home in a predominantly white community, 80% white. Wow. And I remember my wife and I, we decided we were going to walk through the neighborhood and just do a walk to the park, and was pulled over and asked to show ID and everything. And my wife, being an African American, saw the problem in that as racial profiling, and wow. And asked, excuse me, we live in this neighborhood, you know, and we were asked questions like ones who didn't belong. And so I didn't quite even see it at the time, because I was like, well, I guess the police is being, we know the police work in our neighborhood. That's what I said for as a joke. And she said, no, that was racial profiling straight up at the highest level. You know, I've traveled before, Tom. I've sat on first class seats, and people thought, I've had one or two times where it's like, excuse me, sir, are you sitting in the right seat? What do you mean if I'm sitting in the right seat?
Oh, man.
You know, but early on, I used to be in a gang, man. I used to be in a gang. I used to be a troublesome dude. Okay. And when I gave my life to Christ, the first thing that I felt as though God did for me was to turn a blind eye from the things that would sensitively trigger me from my attitude of the past.
Wow.
So I'm extremely slow to identify offensive activities.
Wow. Yeah.
Okay. I feel as though God's helped me with that. I'm talking about, because I was the complete opposite. And I'm even to this point, I'm extremely quick to walk away. I've been pulled over more than a dozen times by police officers, and I'm just, no problem. Can I see your driver's license? No problem. Where are you going? To the mall. I have nothing else to say, because I'm going to keep myself in the most peaceable manner, because I know I can have an attitude too. And if you're having an attitude and I'm having an attitude, we're going to have a problem.
Yep.
And so I've seen my moments from on the airline to my neighborhood. You understand what I'm saying? From doing business elsewhere. And so what I'm appreciative of what's happening is that there are individuals who have now started to see, unlike others who have not seen for so many years, that this is the plight. And so for my son, I've had to help him to understand we live in a world that has not totally embraced the idea that diversity is the future.
Right.
Our world is never going to become one segment of communities anymore. Diversity is the future. And we have to learn how to get along. We got to learn how to work together. And so I think the Bible says, may the peace of God that passeth all understanding rest and preside with us always. Yes. I think that's what my aim is to do with all humanity. And I push that as a message for my brothers and sisters who are white or Hispanic or any other ethnicity, that let the love of God shine within you, that you say, you know what? I work with other people because they're just outright people. And I'm not going to allow what my culture previously might have labeled. I'm not going to allow what my neighborhood or my, you know what I'm saying, how I was educated early on,
because
all those things could bring baggage into your future.
Wow. You know, that blesses my heart so much and challenges me because you're right. We as one body, I mean, created in the image of God, if we would all take that approach, everybody, I like how you said that. This is for everybody, regardless of skin color. If we would take that approach to live peaceably, well, like scripture says, to live peaceably, as much as it depends on you, to live peaceably with all men, and to see people and their character and them as, like I say, as the image bearer of God before you see the color of their skin and judge them on that. If we could do that and we could train up children as leaders, we have the opportunity to help children realize their identity in Christ. Yep. And what I love about you, again, you're able to smile through this. And I know that's not easy, but your approach to it, man, I mean, that moved me. It really has moved me to think about, you know, the idea that I need to treat everybody that way, and I need to live that way with that kind of joy and that peace. That really, you just demonstrated for me, and I wish people could see what I'm seeing and see you on screen here, because they're only going to hear your voice. But you exude that peace that God has in you, and so I can, you know, listen. I'm just going to say it to everybody listening. This man is the real deal. He's not just saying this to say this. I saw it in his eyes as he spoke to me and as he spoke to you. So I hope you'll hear his words and take it to heart and put it to practice. I think that's really what we need to do. Go ahead.
Can I plug this in, Tom? You know, the racism is a taught behavior.
Yes, for sure.
If you look at children, I've traveled all around the world, more than 20 countries. I've had the privilege of working in every different size platform with every different ethnicity group. And when it comes to children, they will all come together and they will have no problem being together. They will have no problem sharing lunch. They will have no problem sitting together. They'll have no problem reading together. They will have no problem playing together. They will have no problem. Yes. It doesn't shift until they start to hit about teenage years and into young adult years, when their parents would have said, you can have maybe a black friend, but you can't date a black boy.
Right.
You can hire a black man, but you should not promote a black man.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying? It starts shifting there. Yep. And I think, as children, we would leave it in our society today. I think years ago, it probably wasn't allowed even the children to commingle. But I think today, commingling and fellowshipping and having fun and so forth at children level has become acceptable. Mm-hmm. However, the challenge is when we start to see an African-American young male that's about 16, the stigma that actually shifts into that. Or, you know what I'm saying? That Hispanic boy that shifts into that. And we start marginalizing. We start categorizing. Yes. think it is those moments that we start to really just sort of mess the whole dynamics up. Because if we really look at, I think difference breeds strength. If you look at my hand, Tom, all of these fingers are all different. And one of them by themselves can do very little, but all of them together has the power and the dynamics to make incredible things happen.
Yes.
And I think that's what the world is coming to be, which yes. is it's a melting pot of yes. a lot of diverse people learning how to coexist to make the world a better place.
That is good. And I hope that that's what we in the church can do a better job of, that we can truly make our faith communities a place that is always welcoming, available, open, and encouraging to anyone who walks through those doors, that no one feels like, oh, I might be out of place here. I don't ever want a person of color to walk into my church and feel like they're not home. Because they are home. If they're a brother and sister in Christ, they're home. They're just joining a family. And I want that to be. So, well, as we get ready to wrap up, can you share about Ricardo Miller Ministries and all of, talk about your book, Effective Living. And we're going to put some links in the show notes, because you have coaching available. You have a missions opportunity where people can go to Jamaica with you, which is on my bucket list to do. I mean, I'm a travel agent and I want to go visit some resorts there, but I want to go do ministry there too.
It's Bahamas.
Oh, that's right, the Bahamas. That's true. Yeah. That's right. Sorry, yeah. My bad.
No, every October, I take a group with me to the Bahamas. October 11th actually has been declared National Children's Ministry Day in the Bahamas.
I love that.
And so the Bahamas government has declared October 11th National Children's Ministry Day. And, Tom, October 11th is my birthday.
Ooh, okay? All right.
And so this year, we're celebrating October 11th, National Children's Ministry Day in the Bahamas. Churches of all denominations come together. We do some incredible things for kids and families on that day. But for those of you guys who are on the internet, you can follow and find me at Effective Living with Ricardo Miller. That's on Facebook, Effective Living with Ricardo Miller on Facebook. And then on Instagram, it's Ricardo Miller. On Twitter, it's Ricardo Miller. Ricardo Miller 1, at Ricardo Miller 1. You can find me all of the social media platforms. I'm out there on YouTube dropping little videos and everything every now and again. My goal in this season is to even help children's ministry leaders learn how to live life effectively, learn how to take the wheel and structure themselves in a way that they are able to win in every area. I learned late that I could have it all if I allow God to manage it all.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. I like that. Well, I definitely encourage you to listen and follow along with him. And brother, we have got to get you back on again. We will not wait as long as we've waited to get you on back on the program. And God bless you. God bless all that you do and your family. I continue to pray good health over you, and that God's blessing will just continue to grow. Cause I just want to, you know, I mean, listen, folks, the facts that he has the whole country there. Can you imagine if we could get our country to take, I mean, a couple of states to declare and to do, I mean, he's in all the schools. I mean, you get into the schools and preach the gospel and see kids coming to Christ. And man, it's just amazing to me every time I watch from a distance what you're doing down there. So God bless you, man, and what you're doing. And keep going. Keep going. You're an inspiration.
Keep us in your prayers. Love and appreciate you, man.
All right. Hey, thanks again for listening to this edition of the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. Join me again real soon for a new episode. We're always going to keep coming and trying to equip and encourage and sharpen you. And so God bless you. If there's anything we can do for you, reach out. Let us know how we can serve you, because that's what the KMC is all about. So thanks again for listening, and tune in again.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the Kids Ministry Collective podcast. We hope that it's helped and encouraged you. If you would, support our podcast by continuing to share it with other leaders. And if you haven't already, hey, please subscribe and leave us a review wherever you listen to this podcast. We look forward to hearing from you how this podcast has helped and sharpened your skills in ministries. So let us know on your Facebook page or head over to kmccoach.net and share with us there. And thanks again for listening to the Kid Ministry Collective Podcast.